The night is advanced. The day is at hand. You know, some people like the snow. Almost all children like the snow, you know, making snowballs, building snow forts, snowmen, making angels in the snow, sledding. And of course, some people like to ski. They love the snow. And probably for all of us, you know, the first snowfall of the winter has a certain charm that lasts maybe an hour or so. But some people really like the snow. And some people like the cold. You know, once in a while you'll hear someone say, well, I could take the cold much better than I can take those hot, humid summers we have in Wisconsin. And for all of us, I think there's some charm in coming in on a cold day to a warm house, especially if you can smell food when you come in, or there's a fireplace with a fire going. So the snow, the cold, not all bad. But you hardly hear anyone ever say, hey, how about those short days we're having? It's barely 4 o'clock and it's starting to get dark. Boy, I love this time of year. Nobody loves the dark. So it's a great promise we have in the second reading today from St. Paul. The night is advanced. The day is at hand. The light is coming. Jesus, the light of the world, is coming. We are preparing to celebrate his birth. And of course, we celebrate that birth right at the time of year when the days start getting longer. I sometimes refer to that as the first sign of spring. You know, it comes already in December, the 21st or 22nd. Very, very slowly at first, imperceptibly, the light begins to come back. The days get longer. Advent prepares us to celebrate the birth of the light of the world. And Advent also prepares us to welcome Jesus, the light of the world, on the last day, when he comes again in glory as universal king and judge. St. Paul is thinking about that second coming, especially in the portion of the letter to the Romans that we hear today. It is the hour now for you to awake from sleep. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. We do not know when the Lord will come again, but undoubtedly his coming is closer now than it was when St. Paul wrote those words. It's closer now, at least by a little, than when we first believed. This is the project of the Christian life, to be prepared to meet the Lord when he comes in glory, or when we go to meet him. That for each of us, that might be a joyful day, that we might look forward with great hope to that day when we meet the Lord whom we have faithfully served as his good disciple. And in that second reading today from St. Paul, we are given also a great project for our Advent this year, in two parts, both having to do with that metaphor of darkness. In the first place, St. Paul says, let us throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day. We are called to throw off the works of darkness. Years ago, parents used to tell their young adult or nearly young adult children, I don't know if anybody says this anymore, but the great advice was, nothing good happens after midnight. The works of darkness are those that we would prefer not being seen doing. We want to put the deeds of darkness away. We want everything we say and do and even think be things that we would be proud to have revealed in the light of day, that we will be happy when the Lord comes to make known all of the secrets of human hearts. So that's the first part of our project for Advent, throwing off the works of darkness, putting on the armor of light. And the second is also related to that darkness metaphor. St. Paul says, "It is the hour now for you to awake from sleep." Of course, there's nothing wrong with sleep. On the natural level, we need sleep. We need proper sleep to be healthy. But here, St. Paul is saying, it is time for you to wake up, to realize, to notice what is going on around you, and even what is going on within you. This was the Lord's point in the gospel that we hear today. He says, as the gospel goes along, therefore, stay awake. And in the first part of the gospel, he tells us what he's thinking about in terms of staying awake when he refers to the times of Noah and the great flood. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, but the Lord's point is that life was going on as usual. It was business as usual. People were oblivious to how far the world had strayed from the will of God. That, of course, was the point of the flood, to give the world a new start. But people were oblivious to what was going on. They had no idea that there was trouble on the horizon until the flood came and carried them all away. So, St. Paul tells us, our Lord tells us, it is time for you to wake from sleep, to be attentive to what is going on around you, what is going on within you. One of the great enemies of that attentiveness, of that effort to be attentive, is noise, with which we are perpetually bombarded in our culture at every waking moment. So this is part two of the Advent project. First, cast off the deeds of darkness. Second, to cultivate a little silence in your life during this 3.5 weeks of Advent that we begin today. How that is put into effect, of course, is different in the life of every particular person. We all need to make a little examination of conscience. How do we fill our lives with noise? And what are the moments? What are the situations? What are the opportunities that I have for silence in my particular life, my station in life, my responsibilities in life? I was reading not long ago an account from a gentleman who had been on a retreat, and it was not a religious retreat. You know, these days, everybody has retreats. You go away for some time, and they call it a retreat. Everybody's got retreats. This was not a religious retreat. But it did incorporate one of the classic elements of a true retreat, and that was silence. And that it included taking people's cell phones and devices away from them. And also, you know, media of all kinds. And this gentleman's experience, which he said was a very, very common experience, was after, I don't know, some hours, a half a day, after the first day, I don't recall, but after a certain time, he found himself weeping, because he was forced to confront what was going on inside himself. He was forced to look at his life and what he was doing, what was preoccupying him, what his efforts were all about. So that's the value of silence, that we take note of what's going on around us, that we take note of what's going on within ourselves. This is the way in which we stay awake to those things. Of course, one of the great activities that we pursue in silence is prayer. And this is a critical element of that attention and awareness and wisdom. When we pray, if we're doing it at all well, we are lifted above all of the preoccupations, the distractions, the anxieties of our daily life and of the moment. That we see things under the aspect of eternity. And those things that we're so anxious about, those things that are such a burden to us, so many of them shrink before our very eyes. They are not so much in the perspective of eternity, under the aspect of eternity. That's one of the great ways of being attentive to what is really important, what will last, what is really real. We can get information by being bombarded with noise. We can be up to the minute on the progress of the Mexico-U.S.-Canada trade deal and the prospects for getting that enacted. We can receive information by being bombarded with noise, but not wisdom. Wisdom comes in silence, in noticing, in understanding what is going on around us, what is going on within us. So this is what I propose as our project for Advent this year. Casting off the deeds of darkness and waking from sleep. Being attentive to what is going on. That we might be ready to celebrate the birth of the Lord with great joy, 3.5 short weeks, and that we might be ready to welcome with joy Jesus, the light of the world, when he comes again.